Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Hallelujah. What a blessing. Thanks so much. Got a couple of things I want to share around marriage. And a friend of mine and I were chatting this week, and let me just get this thing going. Just 1 second. You know, it's interesting. We love planning ahead, don't we? Who doesn't like that? People plan ahead, people have plans and ideas, and we think about retirement, right? We think about investments, and we think about our careers. What's the thing that they do these days? Continuing professional, CBD, continuing professional development. We do all that stuff, right? Yeah. And thanks, Ted. You know, and we budget and we plan and we do courses and diplomas and we just continually growing and investing. But we chatted with a friend of mine and I said, why don't we do the same with our relationships, our marriages? You know, we take our car for a service, we do maintenance on our homes. But how much intentional investment and time and effort do we put in what is the single most important relationship with the human being that we will have? Are you with me? So what we're talking about this week is important, and I want to really encourage you, don't let it stay here. Don't think, oh, this is nice, and then carry on. Let's make a shift to say, God, how can I be intentional around, in a godly way, continually investing and growing? Amen. Father, we just bless you. Thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, lead us in your truth now as we dig into your word, God, and transform us more into the image of your Son, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, Ecclesiastes, I just had this on my heart as I was preparing. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12. This is amplified. Two are better than one because they have a more satisfying return of their labor. For if either of them fails, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and does not have another to lift him up. Again, if two lie down together, then they can keep warm. That's the truth, guys. Hey? It's been some cold nights this winter. But how can one be warm alone? And though one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So this morning, I don't have a lot of time, but I just want us to look at a couple of key things around healthy marriage, godly, healthy marriage, and just some elements that we can trust God to grow in a godly, healthy marriage. And this is the first one, is to say, Lord, this is not just me and my spouse, all right? Apparently, if you ask the guys that have tested these things, a rope that is two-stranded, a rope that is three-stranded is significantly stronger than one with two strands, especially if they're woven together properly. And this is the key. This is the first key I want to share, that Christ is at the center of every marriage, right? It's not just husband and wife. It's husband and wife and Jesus Christ. So for Christ to be at the center is the absolute key. And to be really honest with you, marriage is not easy always, right? There's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of joy, but there's some hard work there as well, and some tough seasons. And I cannot imagine that without Jesus? I think the married couples are like, yeah, you know, because how is that possible? So that's number one, is that Jesus has to be at the center. And you know what's true is that doesn't happen by accident. Jesus is not the center of your marriage, somernet, by accident. It doesn't happen just when we drift along with the world, because the world is centered around a lot of other stuff. All right, relationships all around us in society are centered around other things. So we need to be absolutely intentional and with a plan and with a purpose, make sure that we put ourselves in a place where our marriage and our relationship is centered around Christ. Just a point quickly before I go on. If you're not married right now, this is like giving you crib notes before the exam. All right, this is like cheat sheet material. All right, so this is, don't zone out to think about lunch. Okay, focus a little bit. A lot of these things, I'm like, I wish I knew these things when I was still pre-marriage season. All right, so listen up, take a couple of notes, and you're going to be in a better space than a lot of us were when we were young. Okay. So we need to be intentional around that. I just want to also read this bit here. Let's go to the next one. That's not great. Let me just move it here. Then I can. It's my bad. I'm just going to read it for you guys. I don't know how that happened. Matthew 6. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first Christ in the center of your marriage, and all the other stuff that you were stressed about are going to get easier, right? But then I want to add with that Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. When I was younger, I had this phrase, if you go build God's house, he will build your house. Have you heard that? It's not in the Bible, but we love to quote it, right? And it's obviously not completely wrong if you think about scriptures like this, but my perception was wrong. I was thinking, I'm going to run hard after the kingdom of God, and I don't have to pay attention to my marriage. God's going to just make it all magically appear. That's not right. That's not it, okay? So if God says he's going to add all the things, it doesn't mean if he says unless the Lord builds the house, it doesn't mean the builders are not going to build at all. They're still going to build, right? But God is there with you. So if you're building your marriage, don't sit back on the couch and veg and think it's going to happen magically. It's not like that. You're still going to build, but you're going to build with God's favor. You're going to build with his wisdom. You're going to build with his power and his presence and the Spirit of God. Amen? So don't not build, but allow God to build with you and make him at the center. And that's going to make all the difference. But we're still going to build. We're still going to invest. We're still going to commit to grow together. Having a kingdom focus does not only mean we're growing spiritually together, it means we as a family are pursuing the kingdom of God together. And that is part of putting Christ in the center. And then I want to encourage you, from time to time, chat about your spiritual growth as individuals. Chat about where you are at spiritually. Chat about where you are at spiritually as a family. Saying, you know, how can we grow in this next season spiritually as a family? Like I say, we do that in every other sphere. We do it even with our fitness plans and whatever, all kinds of training programs. Make a training program for your spiritual growth as a family. Are you with me? It's going to be a blessing. Friendship. Next one. This is interesting. You know, we often talk about that we need to keep the romance alive, and when we, you know, especially when the kids come, you don't often feel very romantic at 3 a.m. with vomit all over you, etc., stuff like that, you know. So you have to be intentional around that as well. But you know what? Romance is easy when friendship is being pursued. And let me just put a side note here. A lot of these things that are in my prep has really challenged me as well, encouraged me. So I'm not speaking from a point of got this all waxed, right? This is really a place of speaking to myself as well. So as we pursue friendship with one another, romance is going to fall in place as well. And friendship means, you know, if you think about it, being practical around finding something that you enjoy doing together. Isn't that what friends do? Friends do stuff, fun stuff together. So, and that's something that, you know, it's good to you have your hobbies, I have my hobbies, that's good, it's nice. But make sure you have something that you can do together that you both enjoy. Something that makes you tick. Find out what is that thing and make time for that. Be practical around that. Build that friendship and make sure you set time aside for that thing that you can enjoy together. It's so easy for us to, especially when the kids are around, guys, I can keep you a long time trying to explain our kids' schedule to you. It's between the sporty one and the social one and everything in between. Yo, I don't know, I really feel like I need an assistant just for that. But Erna is an amazing juggler of schedules, praise the Lord. I think it was up to me. A different story. Any case, but so what happens is we end up just so busy with that that we don't schedule time for that thing that we both enjoy. We like taking a walk, and we do that even before kids, and it's nice. We take a walk. Sometimes the dog comes along or the kids come along. You know, there's a couple in our neighborhood that we've seen them once or twice also walking, but they just decide they want to have coffee, but they also want to walk. So now they walk with their coffee around the block. It looks a bit funny, but I love it because they decided this is their thing. They want to do this. They have coffee together, but they're also taking a walk, so they're walking. Do something that you love, that you enjoy together, and that you can have fun together with. All right. Then, growth. Hallelujah. I don't want to talk about growth. That's uncomfortable. Okay, so if we want to grow, we need to start with something, right? So even, as you said, with the spiritual growth, growing as people, I want to encourage you that there's nobody situated better to encourage you and to hold you accountable around your growth and your spouse. Because we're right there in it and we see the real stuff happening. So I want to encourage you. That is a wonderful opportunity to spend time with us saying, how do I want to grow as a person? Because I'm growing not only in the person God has called me to be, I'm called growing in the husband or wife that I want to be for you, right? So talk about that stuff. Encourage one another. Set goals and make it practical and share that stuff with one another. There is a vulnerability there, and that's the thing we don't want to talk about stuff like that, because for us to grow, we need to change. Change is not nice. And change and growing means I have to go to dig a little bit into what's going on here on the inside. And that's often very a place of great vulnerability. But that's where real growth happens. It's when we're willing to dig a little bit. And we're willing to say, yo, I realize this thing that happens from time to time, this stuff that pops out, it's something I must deal with. And then encourage one another. And the key thing about growth is if we are able, by the grace of God, to create a safe environment at home, where there is a safe space, where we can fail, we can get things wrong, without massive backlash, without something being held against you, without it being brought up again and again. You know, that safe space is critical for us to be able to be vulnerable, to grow. Are you with me? And that, again, it doesn't happen on its own. So I want to encourage us. It's one of those things where if you keep on avoiding it, it's because of that vulnerable space, it's not going to become a habit. So we have to put ourselves in that place of, okay, I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to dig a little bit. And I'm being intentional with saying, Lord, the stuff that's coming out, I can't deal with all of it here with my spouse, but I can at least be vulnerable about it. Then I can talk to somebody. I can get help. I can chat to my friends. I can go to a counselor, whatever. I can make sure that I'm taking responsibility about the stuff that I have to grow in. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay. And not only creating this safe space for failure and for getting things wrong, but celebrating one another even when stuff isn't perfect. That's so crucial. Especially when the kids are around as well, making a habit of celebrating each one in the family. Little victories, little things that go right, little things that, big things and little things. Celebrate them, make a point of making a scene. And that's a great time to do that around the dinner table. Hey? What's that? Dinner table. It's this thing that we used to do back in the day where families like eat together around this like table thing. It's amazing. But yeah, I'm joking around that. But guys, that's crucial. Dinner table. Having a chat, celebrating what's happened in the day, sharing stuff. That's what kids remember. That's what we remember. Amen. And that's what really matters. Okay, let's just quickly look at 2 Timothy 3 in terms of us being intentional about our growth and being able to go forward. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That is a continual process, being intentional about our growth, encouraging one another. 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Excuse me. So there is some self-discipline needed. There's some self-control needed. There's some encouraging one another. You know what's the best about preparing for a marathon or an event or a cycle race or something? Doing it with somebody else. Amen? That's the best way. So make sure your training partner, your spouse, is with you in this thing. Run this race. Encourage one another. Amen. Okay. Then, another uncomfortable one. Sacrifice. This is a key element to a godly Christian marriage. And this is where Jesus' example really is amazing. You know, and Jesus says this in John 15. Let me read this for us. John 15:12 is this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And you know, when God speaks about husbands, he talks to husbands, he says you should love your wife as Christ loved the church. And immediately there's sacrifice there because he gave his life. Right now, it's not only husbands; it's also wives. It's love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. Love runs on sacrifice. Love is fueled by sacrifice in every relationship. Interestingly enough, when you are trying to catch the eye of somebody, okay, before even dating and while dating, this is easy. Because you want to put your best foot forward, yes, but you do stuff to make sure you catch this person's eye. You know, you go out of your way. You sacrifice stuff. Your friends say, but but why aren't you coming to the Friday rugby there? At the, you know, we used to have this Kusas rugby in Stellenbosch on the Friday afternoon. Why, where are you going? I said, no, I've got important things to do, but what can be more important than watching the Kusas rugby? You know, and then suddenly that stuff is like, no, I've got important things. So we, that's easy in that season, but we cannot stop sacrificing when we get married. It actually, I want to challenge myself and every person here, look for opportunities to sacrifice. What you're doing, just as when you are courting, we're courting, is you're gaining ground in the heart of the other person by sacrificing something for them. Are you with me? You're looking for opportunities to sacrifice because you're going to gain ground. You're making a statement. You're communicating something really powerful. Are you with me? You're saying I'm willing to give up XYZ because this is really what's important to me. Look for opportunities. Think, how can I make that statement? How can I say it loud and clear? What can I sacrifice? Maybe, I don't know what it means for you, maybe in your schedule, maybe there's a few things that's holy there, you know, to maybe your gym time or your that thing or that thing. And then now and again, make a point of it, not better make a big thing of it, but illustrate that this is more important. Are you with me? So look for those opportunities because you are gaining ground in each other's hearts. And this is how godly love is fueled, is by sacrifice. We love what we sacrifice for. Are you with me? Okay. And then just very briefly on an intimacy, I want to encourage you guys. This is also something that is that we can trust God to be a weapon of warfare. A healthy intimacy in marriage becomes a weapon in your hand to stand against the attacks of the enemy. And again, it's one of those things when the kids are around and stuff's crazy, it's easy to let it slide and not be intentional about it, but make it special. Plan ahead. Have fun together. Involve God in your intimacy. Pray about it. Enjoy it with God, you know. And one of those things, look, there's no pressure, praise God. And once we click that thing, things change. When you realize, well, we've got our whole lives to figure this thing out. How to bless each other and how to grow in that. So that takes the pressure off. Amen. But then sometimes the pressure is like completely gone, and we're like, okay, we fall into a rut of not really caring, not really making it special. So don't go that extreme either. So yes, take the pressure off. Take time to explore and take time to enjoy one another, but still make it beautiful, make it special, and involve God in it. Are you with me? Okay. Be innovative, involve gifts, make it different, you know, think a little bit about it, and involve the Holy Spirit in it. Really keep it special. And again, in that vulnerable environment where intimacy is born, again, that stuff on the inside is gonna matter. So pay attention to that stuff. Sometimes when we're intimate physically, there are things that are in our hearts that if that stuff isn't sorted out, then the physical part is going to struggle as well. So pay attention to the things on the inside and make a point of dealing with them, and you're going to see the fruit in intimacy in all areas. Are you with me? All right. Hallelujah. And one thing that I saw that I was going to leave with you, something that we also are working on, that if the enemy can steal our joy in our marriage, he's happy, right? So joy in general, yes. And one of the things that kills joy is comparison and competition. And unfortunately, a lot of the world around us is so into the social media thing, where that's a lot of comparison that happens there, okay? So immediately it's so difficult to be content and to be full of joy, because you're continually seeing this couple goals, things, and all this stuff out there, and you feel, I'm so far from that, you know? Maybe you're discouraged, like, what? Can't really relate. So be careful of that comparison. Be careful of that. It kills the joy and kills the contentment. And I just want to leave some practical steps for you. Just in the evening, when you're on your way to bed and you're going to sleep, there's a couple of things just to consider. If you want to grow in joy, instead of scrolling through something where you're going to just be not content, I'd rather take a few minutes, share three things that you really enjoyed that day. In other words, you're going from maybe a rush day to thankfulness, okay? Share three things that you appreciate about the other person from that day, if possible, okay? How did it make you feel? So you're going, again, I appreciate you and I'm thankful, instead of, this went wrong, this went wrong, okay? And then three things that I appreciate about God today: gratefulness, thankfulness. So immediately your heart is shifting towards joy, and towards thanksgiving, and towards being grateful, instead of trying to, I think I should have done that differently, I can improve, you know, from that place of that went wrong, etc. We're moving our heart towards thankfulness, and towards joy, and towards really enjoying what God has done in us and through us that day. Are you with me? So I just want to leave that with you. We're going to spend some time praying now. And I just want to close with this last scripture to encourage us. Philippians 1, verse 6 in the Amplified. It says, I am convinced and confident. But maybe there's some of us here, maybe you're a little bit discouraged about your relationship. Maybe you're not convinced and confident at this point. So I just want us to put our eyes on Christ again. I'm convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, the time of his return. So yes, sometimes we go through tough things. And maybe, you know, you look at the couple goals, or you look at some couples, it looks like everything is rosy, and you feel we are far from that place. Or maybe you're at a place where you feel, you don't know which way to go, and things don't look good, and there's tension. I want to encourage you about something. Now, sometimes we wonder if God is in something. Maybe you start a business, and you wonder, is God in this thing? Or maybe you, whatever, different scenarios. But the one thing that we can be absolutely convinced of, that God is committed and into your marriage flourishing. He's 100% behind you. Are you with me? He backs you. He's for you. Marriage is his idea. He wants your marriage and our marriage, your relationship, to flourish and to be glorious and to be beautiful. He's into that. Amen. Don't shut him out. He wants to be involved. He wants to be right there. Don't push him to the side. How do we push God to the side? Pride. And not humbling ourselves before him. Amen. If you're at a point where you know stuff must change, and talk to somebody. Don't wait 5 years. Don't let that thing build up. Don't let pride get in the way of what God wants to heal and restore and renew and make flourish. Speak to somebody. Chat. Get some help. Chat as a couple with somebody. Pray with somebody. He is my provision. And in a safe space, in the body, in a small group, there's a lot of opportunities where we can get help, where we can get encouragement, where we can get just pray with one another. Amen? He's in it. Let's stand this morning. I want us to take a moment to pray over the couples. This is tricky. We want to take communion as well. So I want us, let's pray for the couples first. Then we're going to take communion. Couples can take communion together. So all the married couples, we're standing. Once you raise your hand, or if you're not with your spouse, maybe in the parents' room, that's fine. Just raise your hand there where you are. And I want us to just take a moment to lay hands on the married couples. I know about four of them are away for the weekend together. In any case, let's lay hands on the couples there, and then we're going to have communion together. I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing. If there's anything on your heart, I'm just going to give you like a couple of seconds just to pray. If you feel a specific word or you have something specific on your heart to pray over that couple. Just one thing that I wanted to mention in terms of growing spiritually. I'm so blessed. I see Darren and Emma here this evening. They have a bunch of kids already. They've got hands full, but they are doing Bible school together. That is amazing. Somebody, a couple has decided this is important. That's what I'm talking about. Making a commitment, saying we want to grow spiritually together. All right, so we're going to pray, lay hands. And if you feel something specific, we're not going to pray long. We're just going to pray the word and specific things that you feel. But I'm just going to pray first. Father, we thank you for each of these amazing couples. We thank you, Lord, for your grace on each one in the name of Jesus. We consecrate every couple to you again this morning in the name of Jesus. We declare they are set apart for your purpose and for your glory. We pray your protection and your blood over them, over each one in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak over each one that this is off limits. This couple is off limits. This family is off limits to any assignment of the enemy. In the name of Jesus Christ. No weapon formed against them will prosper. In the name of Jesus Christ. And we declare that they will walk in the fullness of your purpose and in the fullness of your plan. And they will flourish in what you have prepared for them as a family. In the name of Jesus. Just take a moment to speak blessing over them. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.